Julie Kelly, nobody studied January 6th authentically and more honestly than she has. She's the senior contributor to American Greatness and the author of How Democrats Used the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Julie, great to have you back with us.
And thanks for having me on.
Cassidy Hutchinson, a splashy performance yesterday, and even the leftist media said no dice.
Vince, I don't know about you, but when she was recounting that story, I was having flashbacks to, like, my family road trips and station wagons and, like, the 70s and 80s where it was just, like, a scrum inside. You know, your dad's, like, you know, kids are running all over the place. You're hitting each other. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, but don't make me come back there.
Exactly. He's whacking his hand back there. You're hitting your little sister, whatever. But that's sort of what it sounded like, and it's sort of how she presented it, which she talks how 25-year-old women do. But, of course, the story was quickly debunked in a very bad day for the national news media, picking up most of what she said as fact. You have to credit people like Peter Alexander, who actually did a little bit of fact-checking, and this was debunked quite quickly. And now it looks like the U.S. Secret Service, the spokesman, came out with another statement today. And I believe that the January 6th committee already has a transcript, interview transcript, with Mr. Engel, and it would be useful if they would release it publicly so everyone can see for themselves if her account was true or not.
Well, quite clearly, you know how this works, Julie. If they actually had anything from that deposition that would have corroborated the claims that were made yesterday by Cassidy Hutchinson, then Liz Cheney would have played those clips from that deposition. But she did not, because she does not have corroboration from any firsthand witness that actually happened.
They have 1,000 witness transcripts. They have over 140,000 pages of documents, including privileged material from Donald Trump. You would think, yes, to your point, it would be easy to find either text, communications, interviews that would substantiate what Cassidy Hutchinson said yesterday.
Yes.
None of it exists.
And Liz Cheney and Julie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Liz Cheney prompted the questioning. It wasn't like this is something Cassidy Hutchinson just cooked up on the spot. It was Liz Cheney explicitly asked about this so-called incident inside of the presidential limo. She teed her up for this exchange, which means she had plenty of time to pull relevant deposition video to play it alongside that testimony yesterday. She did not, because they don't have it.
Wait, are you saying that a member of the Cheney family made something up and lied to the American people? There's no history of this.
No.
I cannot imagine. So out of character for a Cheney.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, but you're right. I should, you know, I said that the media instantly debunked it. That's true. There were certain people within the press who contacted the Secret Service, and they found out right away that the Secret Service is not only debunking this, they're willing to go under oath and say, yeah, actually, they'll put the agents back out in front of the public, and they will give answers that say that Cassidy Hutchinson is not telling the truth here. But additionally, the Secret Service reporting today, according to Politico, that the January 6th committee didn't even reach out to the Secret Service in the 10 days leading up to the Hutchinson hearing, demonstrating that this is not in any way a fact-finding mission yet again.
Well, what's amusing is the spin now that, well, it doesn't really matter if what she said in this instance was the truth. The overall portrait she gave of Donald Trump and his rage trying to bring an armed mob to the Capitol that afternoon, that's really what matters. Of course, Vince, that also is untrue. As you know, and I cover in my book, the idea this was an armed insurrection was debunked in the spring of 2021. No one brought or used a gun inside the Capitol building, with the exception of a Capitol police officer who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt at near point blank range that afternoon.
Yes.
There were a handful of people with other firearms weapons violations. Not a single person has ever been identified or charged with carrying an AR-15, which is what we're supposed to believe.
So just so people understand this, because you have taken a look at it, you know, there were a number of people who were outside the Capitol building who may have had their own weapons for self-defense. One of them, I recall, was a federal agent, actually, who was there as a part of apparently a Trump supporter, but he was a federal agent and he was there and he had his gun on him. But this idea that it was an armed insurrection is not supported by any of the facts or the evidence, because, one, if it was an armed insurrection, wouldn't you use arms in the insurrection? Like, nobody was doing that. They're swinging flagpoles and sticks around.
Right. So number one, a lot of people who I talked to brought things like pepper spray and other defensive devices because, as you recall, Vince, Trump supporters were attacked in Washington, D.C. throughout 2020, as late as December 2020, during the Stop the Steal rally, where they were accosted by BLM and Antifa protesters.
Yes.
So a lot of people I talked to brought things to defend themselves and their family.
Well, I should also point out, Jolie, that reporters who work on Capitol Hill routinely bring pepper spray with them to work. People know this, right? So especially the female reporters on Capitol Hill, as many women do, as they walk through a city, they carry pepper spray with them. And here's the dirty secret. They throw it in the bushes outside the building when they walk in for the day. And then when they leave, they pick it back up.
Right. So, but I mean, I think that that kind of makes them an insurrectionist. That's what I'm told anyway.
Yeah.
And also, Vince, the so-called militia groups, the Oath Keepers, for example, you know, the militia group that was going to overthrow democracy that day.
Sure.
Those men who drove to D.C. stayed in a Virginia hotel, specifically left whatever firearms they brought as protection or that they usually carry in Virginia. So they didn't violate Washington, D.C.'s very strict gun control laws. This is another huge fabrication, but you can already see the headlines, you know, they're everywhere that Trump tried to bring an armed mob to the Capitol on January 6th. Just preposterous.
Well, that's right. And so the things that we are supposed to be able to rely on, to go to your point, they're saying, okay, well, ignore the stuff that she obviously got wrong. That was just the hearsay stuff. The stuff that she directly witnessed are, you know, Trump is telling people that he just let them in, get rid of the mags. Who cares if they have weapons? They're not here to hurt me. So she says all these things, and it instantly, it's like you could see it coming a million miles away. Instantly, for instance, Liz Cheney yesterday reinterpreted Cassidy Hutchinson's quote, which is, they're not here to hurt me, says Trump, according to Cassidy. Liz Cheney delivers it as, they're not here to hurt me, which that right. sentence has a
dot,
very,
dot, dot.
That sentence has a very different meaning when you place the emphasis on, they're not here to hurt me.
Right. Which is why it is. This is such a one-sided show trial. It would be easy for even the most moderate Republican, had you had one on this committee, to say, excuse me, let's clarify what you're saying. He's not intimating they're not here to hurt me. They're here to hurt AOC. They're
right.
here to, you know, kill Nancy Pelosi or any of the other accusations that have been made. But this is the problem and the risk that they took in this one-sided, all of this testimony. And now it's blowing up in their face, and you know what will be the last committee hearing for at least the next few weeks.
It's wild. Do you think that they consider this a success yesterday, Jolie? The Democrats here and Liz Cheney, of course, who I include among them.
Unfortunately, they do, because they got the immediate headlines that they want. They know that there will be no repercussions if either Liz Cheney or Cassidy Hutchinson especially lied under oath. She won't be charged with perjury or anything close to it. They got the headlines, the hysteria that they wanted. You know, it doesn't matter if the facts come out. Their base is going to believe this no matter what. And they're just going to move on to the next fabrication about January 6th, all to build momentum, Vince,
yeah.
which I believe the DOJ is going to criminally charge Donald Trump with conspiracy and or obstruction before the November election. This is all part of the circus.
I suspect, and I hate to say it, that you are completely right. I mean, it definitely feels like it's heading that way because, you know, they haven't, how many times, this is effectively the third impeachment of Donald Trump. Democrats have been praying for a conviction with each and every pass. They have not achieved it yet. But with Merrick Garland running the show at the Department of Justice, it seems as likely as ever.
Well, and if only Merrick Garland was. I have to say, this is Lisa Monaco, the deputy AG, longtime Obama loyalist, highly partisan, and Matthew Graves, the D.C. U.S. Attorney, Biden campaign advisor. They are running the show, and they are as vengeful and fixated on this as any prosecutor could be.
Can you speak to their – sorry, go ahead. Make that point.
No, and it's important to note this committee doesn't have to make a criminal referral, and there's no reason for DOJ, Matthew Graves, the USDC attorney, not to do this. I mean, this is a DOJ run amok, and there's no one holding them accountable, whether it's Republicans or in Congress or federal judges who are duty-bound to do so. These prosecutors are getting away with ridiculous charges, with ridiculous claims, with lying. to the court and to grand juries. And so there's no reason why they wouldn't. And there's a bloodlust on the left. The Democrats will pay a political price if they do not bring criminal charges against Donald Trump. They will pay a price. And that's, they're very aware of that, I'm quite sure.
Okay, so January 6, 2021 was, as of today, 539 days ago. But interestingly, the United States Department of Justice has, at the very same moment that this January 6th committee began in earnest, has begun announcing charging decisions for all sorts of people around Donald Trump and has begun raiding people like John Eastman and taking his cell phone this week. Can you talk about the connection between these things as the Justice Department decides that as Nancy Pelosi's January 6th thing finds itself dominant on all the headlines, that the Justice Department is moving at the same exact moment against the people that Pelosi is trying to hassle?
Right. So this political purge by DOJ is really accelerating. And as you said, they confronted John Eastman outside of a restaurant last Wednesday night. They took his cell phone. He was not arrested or charged with a crime. The very next morning, the FBI raided the home of Jeffrey Clark, the assistant attorney general under Donald Trump, who was the only man in DOJ willing to actually put up a fight about election fraud in 2020. They raided his home. Actually, the DOJ's inspector general, it was under their a warrant, apparently, and raided his home for 3.5 hours, took all of his devices. He also was not arrested or charged. So what they're trying to do, Vince, is either put together evidence of a conspiracy that would involve these militia groups and or his close aides, advisors like Jeff Clark and John Eastman, or the obstruction of an official proceeding charge, which is the felony that they slapped against about 250 Americans related to January 6th.
But how can you, how can you have your home raided and your property seized if you're not charged with anything? Because then they get a hold of all this stuff and then they can cobble together charges. Don't you have some sort of right to privacy here? I mean, what are they? They're not even alleging any criminal violations, are they?
They're not. Neither man has been, and still here we are a week later, neither man has been charged with anything. But look, this is what this FBI is getting away with. They're running informants. They're using big tech to track down Amazon purchases, cell phone usage of people who end up being charged with parading in the Capitol. I mean, these two agencies, I mean, they're the same. DOJ and FBI are out of control. And again, there's no guardrails because no one is either threatening to pull their funding. Hello, Republicans in Congress, if you take over, or it's certainly the federal judges who are responsible for this. It's really a shame because these people are trapped in a completely rigged, vengeful legal and judicial system in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital that should be, you know, representative of this great country and everyone in it. And it's nothing but a mini Politburo.
Yes.
It is the FBI is the new KGB. It's really unprecedented, dangerous territory for the Biden regime to proceed.
And they're trying to send a message. It's not just about hurting the people that they desperately want to hurt. It's about trying to prevent good Americans from going into service in the first place. So should That's a Republican right. prevail in the next presidential election, you know, is that going to put on pause the likeliness that some people are going to want to go work for that guy? Yeah, absolutely. Because they're going to look around and be like, wait a second. I remember what happened last time. And I think that's the goal. That's the goal, to chill the desire of Americans to improve this country.
It really is. And it is also, yes, to keep good people out of public service on the Republican side. That's absolutely true. To criminalize political dissent
yeah.
and free political speech. They're also going after the RNC this January 6th. They're going after donors. They're trying to criminalize donating to the Republican Party after the election based on the quote unquote big lie. I mean, there is nothing, there's no boundary, no norm that they have not completely crushed. But Vince, it's going to get way worse after they end up charging Donald Trump. We will be in a whole new level of political vengeance and retribution.
I think that they're underestimating the amount of how much they're going to radicalize the public as they take this on. I mean, it's really bad and destabilizing. And, you know, even with bad intentions, I don't think they know what they're doing. I really don't. Julie Kelly, thank you. I really appreciate you, as always, for your reporting.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.